Jesus, the light of the world, this Advent, we remember that darkness needs the light.
As we enter this dark time of the year after the harvest, the fields are barren, cold, and desolate. Think of the shepherds in these depressing fields suddenly ablaze with the light of a multitude of angels singing praise to God.
The angel appeared to the shepherds and told of good news of great joy about a Savior who is born. This Savior would be good news for all people, even these lowly shepherds, even us.
As we light the Christ candle this evening, let us remember the good news for all of us, both great and small, powerful and weak. This is Jesus, the Savior of all and the light of the world.
Shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring in Lord the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings. Don't will speak the priest.
slides. I don't know if Nick says here yet. Every year at Grace Fellowship, we do a Christmas Eve offering, and the offering we're looking at doing tonight is for what's called the Global Lead Academy. That's going to be this next fall, and what is really cool about this academy, I get to be involved in it. It's something I've been involved with, but we're seeking to bring in this idea of transforming leadership in Asia. We're seeking to bring in leaders from Bangladesh, from Sri Lanka, from Myanmar, from India, from Pakistan, so many different countries. And we tried going to those countries this year, and you may say, what are we doing? Well, there's ministry strategies we're teaching, and we're also doing Heart of the Leader, which is soul care for pastors. And in a lot of these places, you know, when I was talking to the guys in Sri Lanka, the one time the fellow missed a Zoom call, and, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been irritated with someone missing a call or whatever, and I was like, why didn't he show up? And usually people have an excuse, like, oh, I slept in, or I was late on the bus or something, but he was like, well, I was visiting a pastor that got stabbed and is in the hospital. So I was like, that's a pretty good excuse. These places are tricky. And we were looking to go to Bangladesh, and they had a coup, so they ousted the prime minister. The prime minister had to flee the country, and as I was talking to them about going, they were saying, well, there's no police right now. The military is kind of the police, and they don't really respond to a call till like a day later. So if there's like a mob or something like that, it's pretty much on your own. So, and then we were thinking about going to Myanmar, and they were saying, well, if we leave the capital city of Rangoon, we might be pulled over and killed, and they would take our vehicles. So these are tricky places. And so we thought, let's do this in Nepal, where these guys can come. It's relatively peaceful in Nepal, and they can bring a group to be trained and then go back to these countries, because we haven't been able to go into their country. So as you're thinking about giving this evening, that would go towards scholarships to help them to come. You know, we're going to try to cover at least half of their flight, their time there, their food there. And what was standing in the way before for a lot of them was the cost. And so we said we'll seek to try to provide some scholarships so you can come. So 100% of what you give this evening would go towards that, towards those scholarships to help these guys to come. So appreciate that. So I'd like to call up those who are taking the offering. You could just make it out to Grace Fellowship, and we will then direct it towards Global Lead tonight. So let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to just give towards these leaders being trained in a different country, these leaders from countries where things are very difficult. We ask that you would just bless this time. And we thank you for Christmas Eve and looking here at Christmas and all the ways you have blessed us. I pray for each family here that they would have a wonderful Christmas Eve and a wonderful Christmas together. In Jesus' name, amen. Sermon. idea of adoring the Christ child, it means that he holds our attention. He is in highest favor with us, and we see no wrong in him. I'm sure it can mean a lot more, but ultimately it means that we worship him, that we regard him as our Savior, that we regard him as our Lord. You know, in Advent season, we think often of the first coming of Jesus, but Advent season also is talking about the second coming of Jesus. The first coming, he came very humbly in a manger. The second coming talks about him coming in the clouds, and in the book of Revelation, if you've ever read that. And it's a much more coming with fanfare and his kingdom. So as we are thinking about this first Advent, I also want us to be thinking about the second Advent and preparing for that in the same way we prepare our hearts for Christmas. So as we prepare, what better way to prepare than to make sure that we are adoring Jesus now? The challenge for all of us this Christmas, then, I would say, is come and adore Jesus before he comes again. So we're going to be looking at Revelation 22, 5 and 12 through 17. So if you could bring that up behind you, I'm going to read that for us this evening. So Revelation 22, 5. And nights will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So as we talk about Jesus being the light of the world, at the end, he will truly be the light. It often says in Revelation, there will be no more sun, because he will be the light for them. And then it goes on in verses 12 through 17, talking about some ways we can prepare for Jesus' second coming. So Jesus says this, the writer, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and murderers and adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty, 'Come.' Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price." So we hear over and over in this passage this idea of coming. You know, as we heard, "Come, let us adore him." You know, this idea of coming before him. So there's three ways we see in this passage that we can come and adore him now before he comes again. So first, come and adore Jesus before he comes again by washing your robes in verse 14. That's a kind of odd thing to think about, washing your robes. Earlier in Revelation, it talks about washing our robes in the blood of Jesus. That's even a stranger idea, because you think washing, that they get clean. I know when I get blood on something or I have a bloody nose, I don't think of that shirt as clean anymore, right? I want to get out the stain stick. I want to get that in the wash as soon as possible. And usually I don't get it sooner than later. And what happens? You have a stain, right? But what it's talking about here is this idea of continually washing. The verb there is a present continuous if you're someone that likes grammar. So this is the idea of continually washing your robe in Jesus' blood. Now, when Scripture talks about robe, it's what you're wearing. It's what everyone sees. It's how you present to the world. And often it's talked about your works or your righteousness. So it's saying basically you are trusting in Jesus' blood to be your righteousness, not in your own. And continually doing that. So that is one way we prepare for the second coming of Jesus, is that we are continually saying, "I trust in what he has done for me, not how good I am." So when you adore Jesus before he comes again, you are placing him in the position of being your righteousness, not your own righteousness. The second aspect of coming and adoring Jesus that this passage emphasized is number two. Come and adore Jesus before he comes again by hearing and responding to the call. Verse 17 says that. Have you ever had a fire detector start to lose its battery? Has anyone ever had that? You know, I was talking to Bob, the one who was doing, Bob, you change it when the time changes. That's such a smart thing to do. You know, but you must have been a Boy Scout or something. I know you were, but I always forget to do that. Maybe I think I'll Like last week, we were in the middle of the night. The little fire detector decides to start doing its little chirp. Every few minutes, and it just drove Laura batty. It woke her out of sleep, and she's like, I can't sleep. I hear that thing. And so I'm waking up, and then I'm trying to find it. You're headed where the thing's going off, and you're like, which one is it? You know, and you're walking around. You hear it out that way, and you're going this way, and I'm half asleep. And I finally get out there and fumble with it and get it down. I didn't want to have it go crazy and wake everybody up, so make sure I pull the batteries out. You know, in the same way, the call of God may happen on your life when you least expect it. You know, it will happen when you are not looking for it. And it may not be really loud, but you begin to realize that He is calling you to come to Him. He's calling you. Will you come or will you ignore the call? Will you just try to sleep through it or will you answer that call? You know, I'm not sure where everyone is tonight with answering the call of God, but reading this passage, you being here tonight, it was no accident. God is calling you to come and to adore Jesus now before, at the end, every knee will be forced to bow. We have this period in between His first and second coming where we can choose to come to Him and we are not forced to bow the knee. It's a period of grace. So I would encourage you, come and respond to Him. So we looked at how we can come to Jesus before He comes again by washing our robes in His blood, by hearing and responding to the call, and lastly, come and adore Jesus before He comes again by acknowledging your thirst. Has anyone ever here been thirsty? I mean, like, really thirsty. I remember one time I didn't bring enough water on a hike, and it got really hot, and we drank through the water, and about halfway through the hike, and there, it was getting to be like 90 degrees. And that last half of the hike, my tongue was sticking to the roof of my mouth. I started feeling like those people in those movies that are crawling through a desert going, water, water. You know, I started to understand how that felt. All I could think about was water and getting a drink of cool water after that hike. And what this verse is talking about, let him who thirsts come and drink. Let him who thirsts come and drink freely. It's water without cost. You don't have to be amazing. You don't have to be powerful. Everyone is invited to drink from this well. Jesus called Himself the water of life. And so He's saying in this verse 17, let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires the water of life without price. Well, there's a lot of thirst. There's a lot of voices in our world that are telling us they will quench our thirst. But the further I go in life, I'm not as far as long as some of you, but I'm maybe a little further than others. But the further I go in life, I realize that the only one who satisfies long term is Jesus and what He can do for us. You know, I've looked at other things, run after other things. You know, I remember a song by Keith Green, if you are of that era. You remember Keith Green? He says, you can run to the end of a highway and not find what you're looking for. And I don't know if you have got to the end of that highway. Maybe you're young here and you're still thinking, well, I think that's going to meet my needs. I'll go after that. I'll go after wealth. I'll go after power. I'll go after sex. I'll go after this or that or family or other things. But none of it will fill your thirst like Jesus will. So don't miss this opportunity. I encourage you to come and adore Jesus before He comes again. So let's pray. Lord, we recognize Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time for calling us to be ready. And Lord, we want to be ready for Your second coming. And Lord, we see these instructions in Your word, and that if we are depending on Your righteousness, if we are responding to Your call, if we are continually acknowledging our thirst for You, that You are our source, that prepares us for this second coming. So I pray for anyone today that might be hearing this and is not right with You or not ready, that You might draw them to Yourself. Receive the candle, and one thing we typically do on the Christmas Eve service is we light these candles, and as a symbol, you know, we've been talking this whole month about Jesus, the light of the world, how when we come into Jesus' presence and when we make Him the Lord and Savior of our life, that His light lights us. So imagine this is that candle up there. Okay, I'm bringing it down. Okay, and we're going to
silent night.